Welcome to Health Butts and Guts, on the forefront of intestinal health and nutrition. Tune in with Mel and Kelv for enlightening tales of coffee enemas, perennial bleaching, and holistic teachings. Lovely.
It's official.
Oh, shit. I oops. Already. Bleep. I was going to say, I kept it too close to my microphone, and after the 55th episode, I still can't figure it out.
Well, I think the theme has always been technical difficulties, so it's okay.
Let's switch the podcast to technical difficulties.
Right? Yeah.
It's been a while, Mel.
I know.
How are you?
Fat.
I was gonna say you look round, fat. I mean, I call everyone fat, so it's a compliment.
Well, I feel like large and in charge, like sitting here and looking at. I mean, I'm in black.
Can you turn to the side?
Well, I'm not even that big. Like black is supposed to be. What, I am big?
Yeah, you're kind of big.
Everyone says. See, I think that this angle makes me look bigger than I am. Okay, and then, look, hold this.
I've got two microphones.
It's not that, like, big.
It's big.
I feel like I just look full.
So why are we talking about this? Like, I had a big burrito. Do you have a parasite?
No.
Oh, what's going on?
I have a baby.
Yay! Congratulations! Yeah. I actually have known that for a minute. But we haven't been recording. And so people have probably been wondering what the heck has been going on with us.
I know. A lot.
You're growing a baby.
I know. It's so crazy. Oh, it's wild. Gosh. We have a little peach in there.
It's funny because I'm growing a parasite. For real. I got worms.
Well, I probably do too. And the thing that sucks about being pregnant is that you can't detox. You can't do enemas. Like, you, if you need to do like a saltwater enema, you can do that. And when you get closer to delivery, like you're starting to have contractions and stuff, like old school style, they used to have women do enemas before they went into labor and had the baby.
Is that because of constipation, or is that just like for sanitary, so that you don't like have an accident on the table and then the E. coli or something weird happens?
I don't know exactly, but my assumption is that, you know, when you're pushing your baby out, like if you have a full bladder, it can restrict like the space for the baby to come down. So you want to have an empty bladder. I think like having empty bowels is good. Plus, a lot of people poop when they're having babies.
I know. I'm sorry. I watched my sister. Sorry. I watched two out of the three babies, and one of them she pooped. But okay, I have to tell you, because I was so fascinated. She doesn't care. She's very open. But the doctors, I mean, it was a well-oiled machine. Like when it happened, and there was a trash can right below my sister, and the doctor just, or it was actually a nurse, she literally just scooped it really quick, and it was like, okay, honey, just keep pushing, like as if it was like, I mean, I can't even wipe that fast. Like I was like, whoa, like there wasn't even a chance for it to,
right,
to have any bacteria. I was very impressed. I was like, yeah. How do we hire this woman?
Well, I've been obsessing watching birthing videos.
Oh.
And there was one exactly like that, where it was like a little like pebble. It wasn't even big or gross like you would think. And they did the same thing. They just wiped it, and then like the baby was coming out. So, I mean, there's so much pushing and pressure and stuff like that, that it's, you would expect something like that would happen.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I think the ultimate goal is, right? They say push like you're the biggest poop of your life.
Yeah.
I know this is like what we talk about, but I feel like I have to like censor. Like I feel bad like talking about it.
Because it's like an
it.
Innocent baby.
Well, I'm like, no, just talking about like birth and poop and stuff. I feel bad.
Why?
Like, I don't know. Is that weird? Like that's the whole point of having a podcast and being like, the stuff is what
So
happens.
Now you're Mel and I'm Kel.
Yeah. I'm so nervous. I'm like, oh my God, these people are going to be so like grossed out. But it's. It's real. It's what happens.
It's part of life. Yeah. I mean, okay, but on that note, like, so back in the day, I've been watching this series called Call the Midwife, and it's based in London. And like, they talk, like, they make the women do an enema, like, all this stuff before they have the baby. But in my mind, I was like, as soon as I start having contractions, I'm for sure doing an enema because I want to make sure, like, I'm cleared out. And they don't, I don't think they do them in hospitals anymore.
The enemas?
Yeah, like, like while you're in labor and stuff. But you can do it. I asked my midwife, and she said you can do it, like, you can do them. And it does help you go into labor, too. Yeah. So, but, like, it sucks not being able to detox because I was so used to, like, being able to do a coffee enema or, like, put oil of oregano. Like, I can't even take oil of oregano.
Right.
Because it can cause you to go into labor.
Oh, wow.
There's certain, like, herbal remedies that you would normally reach for versus, like, medication, but you can't. You're constantly looking up to see what you can or can't eat or put on you or stuff like that.
That's so crazy because I like you don't even think about even like sushi. Like, oh, yeah, you're processed meat. You're not supposed to.
No, those are lies. Those are lies. They're lies.
Yeah, well, they say raw juice, too. And I would say that was a lie, too, because it's like, come on, you can have raw juice.
Okay, this is the thing where the sushi thing is. If you're getting sushi from a gas station, you probably shouldn't eat it. If you're getting sushi from those like rotating sushi bars where it's like sitting on a plate and it's like going through the whole restaurant and people are like breathing on it and there's like it's exposed to air and the temperature's changing, yeah, I would not do that. But you can go to like really nice restaurants where they're like have A health ratings. You see that they're on ice, like it's a place that's nice. You might have to pay a little bit more,
yeah,
but you know that it's a clean place and they maintain all of their health and food standards. I've already had sushi being pregnant and I'm fine. And the same thing with deli meats. And if you research the data that they have on it, it's minimal. It's like one or two cases this happened, like Listeria or something like that. And they're like, yeah, women shouldn't do this. And it's like, what do you think women in Japan or Hawaii do? Yeah. They eat it, but they're fresh sources and they're clean and they have such high minerals and vitamins and omegas that you're getting from the source versus having to take a supplement.
I'm reading Anthony Bourdain's book from like 2013 and he talks about that, like the fish. He's like, don't ever get like sushi from like the all you can eat places or, you know, like where they're like half off on Sundays. He's like, there's people that line up and there's quality, like levels, like you're super right. Cause there's levels of fish that you can order. And it's like the best and the most expensive fish is going first, you know? And then on Sunday when they have like these sales, like that's what you're getting. But he also talks about like how they make different like chilies and quiche and stuff on Sunday, like with the fish, like the omelets and stuff. Ew. Yeah, leftovers.
I don't know about a fish omelet.
Oh, disgusting.
I think I might have had like one bagel with lox before just to kind of like try it.
Yeah.
I mean, I liked smoked salmon, but the smoked salmon and the lox that go on bagels are kind of like slimy.
I'm not into it. When I lived in New York, I was shunned a lot because I was like, oh, God, that's gross. And they're like, oh, who are you? Go back to, they thought I was from Texas, but go back to Texas. I'm, well, like, now I'm from California.
Now you live there, so.
I'm kind of Texan now. No, they don't like me there either.
Really?
I mean, they don't like California.
I mean, I don't blame them.
I don't either.
I don't like California sometimes either.
I don't claim myself. I just, I'm a nomad. I'm all over.
Little gypsy.
Really, I like to take the best of all big cities. But anyways, back to parasites and eating whatever you want. And enemas and not being able to detox. Like mm-hmm. that is, your skin looks great.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, and your hair looks long and full. So that's amazing.
Extensions.
Don't tell anyone.
I have no shame. Someone was telling me one of my pictures. I'm like, you look so pretty. I'm like, thank God for filters and thank God for extensions. I'm like, I have no shame and I will tell you. Like, who cares?
I like that. I've always liked that about us. It's like being like, well, you know, it was definitely a filter or got Botox or did this.
Yeah, which you can't get Botox when you're pregnant. Mm-hmm. But it's funny because people are like, oh, but when you're pregnant, you have all this collagen in your skin and your hormones and like you glow and like you don't even need it. And I'm like, these frown lines are like coming in hot. I'm like, there's
You're sensitive no though. You're beautiful. You look good.
Well, thanks.
Yeah.
But you also don't drink, right? And you don't stay out late like you used to. So
that makes sense.
Your body has time to recover. But you also like have like, I don't sleep well, which sucks.
Were you a good sleeper before?
I think during the night I was good. Like I could sleep through the night, but it took me a little bit to fall asleep. But now it takes forever to fall asleep. My husband snores. I shove earplugs in my ears. I feel like my hearing has like dwindled.
Oh my gosh. You know, we have a helmet for that snoring.
I was thinking about it. I was like, I need to find that.
I organized our health bets and goods.
Wait, did you find it?
Stuff, and I found these two helmets. They look like water polo helmets. And it's for people with, what is it called when you can't, not insomnia.
Sleep apnea?
Apnea.
Oh.
Yeah, because I was going to say insomnia, and that's not it.
It has something to do with your jaw. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's interesting because more men snore more than women do. I think I was reading, it's like, I want to say 40, but I don't think it was that high. A men snore, and then women, it's less, but like women do snore. But I think that the men's airway is smaller, and then it's like when their tongue relaxes, it's the vibration of like your tongue or your sinuses that causes the snoring sound. And if you have sleep apnea, you stop breathing.
You straight choke, right? Like they'll wake up choking. Like
Yeah. So you have to have like this machine that brings in air and takes out like CO2 or whatever from you. But it's scary. Like I'm more in like, yeah, it's annoying that I can't sleep and I have to wear earplugs. But I'm more concerned with like my husband's health to be like, this isn't healthy for you.
You're not getting oxygen.
It's not like he's overweight or he's like drinking all the time and like drunk. You know, when you're like, after you drink, you're like more tired and like your body's more relaxed.
Yeah.
It's none of those things. So like he ordered this big pillow and there's like all these different things like sleep on. It's like a shoulder pillow to sleep on his side because it like hurts from to sleep on his shoulder. And I was like, this is taking up our bed. We have a king size bed and we're like barely fitting in it. But like being pregnant, you like your diaphragm expands. And so like everything gets pushed up, all of your organs and everything gets pushed up and you can't breathe like as well as you like normally.
So are you snoring too?
Sean said that I was like,
just sound like
sleeping
a bunch of pigs.
Heavily like the other night. He's like, you're snoring kind of, but it wasn't like, it was just like, if you can hear it, I don't know.
Heavy breather like me all the time, just mouth breathing. Hi, Melody. Hey, Mel.
but yeah, and then I've gained weight, obviously.
Yeah.
So
healthy is very good for you.
Yeah. But I don't eat everything. I don't like use it as an excuse. I'll just like, you know, if there's something that I want to eat that's not good, I'll just have like a little bit of it. But for the most part, I try to be healthy and eat as clean as possible.
Well, that's the best part. And detoxing, you could still do like body scrubs. You know, you could still do walking every day. You know, like you could still be active.
You can still like juice and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But the sleeping part is, like, I'll wake up every few, like, hours. So I'll wake up, like, 3 to 4 times a night from Sean snoring and then from me needing to pee.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you're in for, like, 18, no, maybe, like, at least 10 years of, like, very little sleep. So are you ready for it?
I guess. I think all my years of, like, going out and, like, you know, dancing till the sun came up and just like running around doing so many things, having so much on my plate is maybe preparing me for it.
Yeah.
But.
Well, and I think these detoxes, I think that the, I personally believe like the enemas helped you to get to a healthy body to get to where you are. And
yeah, I do too. It was a miracle baby because we didn't have to use my eggs. We didn't do in vitro or anything.
It that is a miracle.
Happened on our little mini moon. Now the baby's nickname is Ojai because we were in Ojai.
Oh my gosh, that's really cute. I didn't know that's why.
Yeah.
Oh, that the baby's gonna hate you for that.
Why? Like,
I was conceived in Ojai and you're gonna name me Ojai, so I'm gonna.
No,
remember.
It's not gonna be the baby's like. I'm gonna tickle my nose. It's not the baby's legal name. It's just because we're waiting to find out the gender when the baby's born.
Okay.
So we're just calling it, like, you know, people call them like baby O, whatever your last name is or whatever.
Okay.
So we're just naming it baby Ojai because. That's where it was
going. Got it. I thought you were going to name him that. And I was like, and I say him. I keep saying him. I do not know if it's boy or girl, but I keep saying him because I think it's a boy. I don't know why. I just keep saying him.
I don't know either. I think it's going to be a boy or a girl. But I think personally, though.
It's like not a boy and a girl, right? There's just one.
Okay. Thank God there's just one. But like the more we say, like we like refer to the baby as Ojai, it's a cute name. A lot of people are you're not gonna name it because it could go for a boy or a girl.
Yeah.
But we already have the names picked out. I just like it's cute. I'm like, we could keep it as a nickname for the baby.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
So what is that going to look like for detoxing? Like as soon as you get done. Like, as soon as you have a baby, you start breastfeeding. But you can't detox while breastfeeding still.
Well, I can't breastfeed.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Oh, you're on a whole nother level of a mission.
Which is crazy because your body doesn't know. Like, your body is programmed. Okay, when you're pregnant and you have all these hormones, it has to start to create milk. So it sends these signals and hormones to your breasts to start milk to produce the colostrum, all this stuff. So because I don't have any breast tissue and I don't have any milk ducts from my double mastectomy, my body is still trying to do its job there. So I'll get the most intense pain in my nipples and in my breast. Like people are like, oh no, it's normal. And I'm like, okay. I don't understand if you know what this pain is. It's like a hill of fire ants went into your boobs and are biting them from the inside out for like almost 3 hours. And your nipples get, and your skin around your nipples get red. It's like the coldest your nipples have ever been in your life. Like that pain. And like
I don't understand why, because it's just going into your skin.
It's like my nerve endings are trying to reconnect, mm-hmm. and like there's a little bit of tissue, but there's nothing else. It's like my body's like, why isn't it working? And it's like nerves are firing. That's my understanding because I've asked my doctors, I've tried to research it, and my doctor's like, we don't have any patients that are pregnant that are young like you, because a lot of women that have breast cancer tend to be older, mm-hmm. and I'm like online trying to research, and the research that I get, it just talks about like being pregnant after breast cancer, but doesn't talk about that pain. And like my breast that's not radiated, I feel like there's some like more like fat kind of here, like making my boob a little bit bigger, but my other breast where I had radiation, it doesn't feel like it got that much bigger. Yeah.
I wonder if that's because the lymph nodes didn't get damaged. I don't know.
No, my radiated side, I have lymph nodes removed and like a lot of your skin and tissues damaged from the radiation.
Gotcha.
And the other side. But yeah, the other side, no.
Right.
So yeah, I think it has more like skin and like life there.
Right.
So you're right. Yeah. I thought you were talking about the right.
I just have theories though. Like it's like, to me, the body seems so complicated, yet so simple. Like, if you think like a child on so many levels of like, oh, I have like this pain, like, oh, I don't know. I feel like things are very, very basic where it's like, oh, well, I have swelling here. Well, the lymph node was damaged on this side.
Yeah, it's a response to something. Yeah.
But we try, like, because there's so many ailments and there's so many things, like, it seems like it could be so complex that we make it harder than it is.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, it's true. Oh, you have a headache because you're dehydrated. Mm-hmm. Oh, just drink some water. Okay, cool. Like, right. Simple. Like,
but we, like, rush to the doctors. Mm-hmm. We get all these x-rays and these tests done, and then we start taking medication, and it's like, oh, I just needed to drink a cup of water and put some salt crystals on my tongue.
Like, oh, I needed to switch, like, my coffee. Like, I have to have apple cider vinegar before the coffee because it's too acidic in my belly. I'm learning that right now.
Or just don't spend so much time on your phone.
Oh, I really need to work on that.
Have you ever looked at how much time you spent on each app or on your phone?
No.
It's scary.
No.
But it'll give you alerts. It'll be like, this week you did less or more.
Yeah. It's high. It'll be like sometimes 4 hours.
That's not bad.
But I don't use a computer, so that's kind of bad.
Yeah, for me too. Like, I'll use my computer for certain things, but for the most part, I'm like researching on my phone or emails or texts or calls or whatever. But
yeah.
Rabbit holing on Instagram.
Oh my god, I know.
But now everything pops up in my feed is like baby this, baby that. You see like all of these like births happening because I'm not doing a medicated birth.
Okay.
I'm going to use a midwife and I'm going to be in like a birthing suite. So they don't give you any medication. But because it's connected to a hospital, they still like they still have like a protocol where they have to tell you about medications or shots or whatever. But
okay, well, I mean, I think that's fair. I think you should have the knowledge on both sides. Like, if you decide, you know what, this medication sounds great, which you might not, most likely 100% won't. You know what I mean? But just having that, I think it's the best balance, and I think that's the biggest problem. It's like, why can't the general hospitals have like a holistic option? And then you choose, like, all right, well, you're not going to have any medicine. It might tear you. It might do this. It might do that. You might get infection.
Have less chances of tearing if you're not on an epidural and you don't have induction.
Because
your body was created to naturally have a child. So, like, when you're induced, you're putting your body in extra stress that it didn't ramp up to. So when you have contractions and then, you know, like they say, oh, how close are your contractions? So like they get closer and closer because your body is warming up and preparing to push out a baby.
Right.
So when they give you this stuff, it's called Pitocin, your body naturally creates oxytocin, which is the hormone that tells your body to go into labor, and it causes your uterus to contract.
Okay.
So the hospitals will give you Pitocin at a high dose. So I don't know the actual calculation difference, but to me, what I've researched, it's like, let's say your body every hour releases, let's say 0.5 of Pitocin, whatever measurement you want to say. But then when you go to the hospital, it's every 10 minutes, let's say it releases 2. So it's like 4 times the amount your body's releasing. And what it does is it makes your uterus contract harder. So it puts stress on your baby and it puts stress on your body. And if you're having Pitocin contractions, sometimes what's happened is So sometimes what happens is it makes your uterus contract so hard, it causes your water to break, but it's like a dam exploding, and it can cause complications where like the umbilical cord can come through your cervix, and when you're contracting, it can close off oxygen and blood supply to the baby, and then you have to go into an emergency C-section.
I hate it all. There's so many like fears behind it. Like, I already have my own fears behind it, but then I feel like people used to always be like, it's a miracle, it's a miracle. And then I'm like, no, it's not. Anyone can have a baby. And then you tell stories like this to make it's a freaking miracle. It's a miracle. It is. And then I'm like, it's scary. Like, I don't like to hear it.
Well, the hospitals and doctors make you afraid. They make a natural, miraculous event become a medical procedure. And it's not. If there is an emergency, there's a complication, then thank God for medicine, thank God for doctors to intervene. But your body knows what it's doing. And like, if you prepare for it and you have a good team with you and you have a good mindset, then you can get through it. It is hard, but birth and labor was meant to be hard. Like if you read when man and woman were created and God was like, you're gonna have hard labors, like, it's something that your body goes through. It's not like, oh, just ignore the pain, just go and like get all this medication. And like the way you lay in a bed at the hospital is not natural. The medication they give you, it's not natural. The epidural takes away your pain. And now they're giving women fentanyl, which there's different opioids that they give women, which it blocks your brain signals from feeling pain versus like epidurals and other medications block like pain in your body. So you're getting these opioids in you that does go through your placenta and it does affect your kid. And yeah, it eases your pain. You could still sometimes kind of feel the baby and stuff, but you can't truly feel and calculate pushing. And if you push too hard when the baby's head is crowning, that's when you tear. Wow. So there's so many things that like medicine can help with, but when it comes to childbirth, like vaginally, it can complicate things and make it harder for you and put stress on you and the baby. Then it forces you to have a C-section,
right?
Or them use like clamps or suctions to like suck your kid out of you or like cut you. Like you're not supposed to be cut. Your body was created, it's a sphincter. Your cervix is a sphincter, like your butthole is a sphincter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's created to expand to a certain size to allow whatever is naturally created to come through it to come through it. So you can't, like, that's why they say like your cervix is dilated 10 centimeters, like a baby's size of a head.
Right.
And it's naturally able to expand that big because your ligaments in your pelvic like loosen up and then you can have like the baby can come through it naturally and there it shouldn't tear.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And the baby's head isn't fully like the skull isn't fully
hard.
It's hardened. It like the baby has more bones in its skull when it's born than when it's an adult because it fuses together once it comes like as it develops outside of you.
Yeah, I knew that. And I knew like the suction of like will change the shape of the baby's head and it's
not. It's like dramatic. I know. Don't even get me started on the shots they want you to take and the things they want to do to your baby.
Oh my gosh. There's so much to it.
There's so much, but it's fascinating to like whatever your journey is though with your pregnancy and with your labor and delivery, like whatever gives you peace and allows you to get through it is I think your choice and your story and your experience.
Right.
So there's no right way or wrong way. There's different ways and sometimes one way could be less traumatic or less invasive on you than another way is. But
absolutely.
If you can't do that natural way with no medical interventions or whatever, and because it causes you stress and it's going to stress your kid out, then go do your medical intervention, you know?
Right. Well, once again, like your body, your choice. Like you, I love the option of being able to be like, okay, load me up, like friggin' put 4 spinal taps, like let's go, you know, I don't want to feel it, like I want that baby walking out, or you want to push, you want to work, you want to feel every second, every moment be, you know, and I've seen both of those moms. Uh-huh. I'm friends with both of those moms. You're friends with both of those moms. Everyone's met those people right. on both levels, and it's like, doesn't mean they're good or bad. It's like,
yeah.
They're both awesome, good and bad moms.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
What I've realized talking to a lot of both moms is that when I start sharing what I've been learning, they're shocked because they didn't know. They weren't educated. They didn't realize it. Mm. Or they didn't understand it. Like, they're like, oh, yeah, I had this done to me or whatever. And then when I explain it, they're like, okay, now it makes sense. So I think a lot of the times there's fear shared versus knowledge. So a lot of people are more afraid to do something that's better for you mm-hmm. because they've been like conditioned to think you shouldn't feel pain or it's so painful. There are women that have said they've had an orgasmic experience going into labor and having contractions. Because it's euphoric. It's like there's this adrenaline and hormones that are being released. And if you really are in tune and touch with your body, you're able to feel these like surges. And it's more empowering than it is painful. Like you choose. Is this feeling giving me motivation? Like, okay, this is getting me closer to my baby. This is like what my body's meant to do. It's working right. Like. Or, oh my gosh, I'm in so much pain, just get it away, like stop, well, just get it out of me.
So much mental, like 70% mental, right? Like that's just freaking crazy that, yeah, you should think this pain is amped to get one more step closer to seeing my baby.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I know. I just think like this is my first challenge as a parent, like, because you're going to suffer as a parent. You suffer. It's not always joyful. It's not always easy. And you have to sacrifice and be selfish. So I'm selfless. So I'm like, maybe this is like my first challenge. But who knows? I might be like, Kel, I had them give me everything. I just like, knock me out. I don't care. I couldn't do it. You know?
You're strong. But you've actually already been set up for this. It's funny because I like circle back to one of our very first episodes of you telling us about your cancer story and having to be an advocate for yourself, and like full circle now you're having a baby and you're still 100% having to be an advocate for yourself. So it's really neat that you can take that knowledge that you have and just kind of put it into a different scenario and other people can do the same thing, whether, you know, dealing with the doctor, whether it's a cancer story, it doesn't have to be, or it could be an autoimmune, it could be anything.
Right. It can even be you getting your car fixed. Like you're like being an advocate for what you need done and you're knowledgeable about it. You could communicate.
Absolutely. I love that.
I know.
Well, how is that going to look for, how are we going to know what's going on with you? Are you going to let us know every step of the way? Are you?
So like we've had two seasons with HPG, this third season is just something that I have to like focus on my health and my family and my baby. And so it's like hard for me to say this, but it just feels really good and I have peace about it, that I just need to step back and focus on me, because it's not fair to not be able to give everyone my attention and love and energy and focus and just be like, you know, stretched thin and then like half-assing things. Like I don't like to do that. So I'm stepping back for the season. I might come back, I might not. Who knows? But as of now, I'm just going to take this time off to focus on me, which is important for people. If you're going through something, you should be able to have peace about it and not like struggle with letting it go.
Right.
But, you know, always send some updates. And when the baby's born, let you guys know. And I think for me, I always will be learning and sharing and creating and, you know, always have like irons in the fire and have projects coming up. So whatever we have will be updated on the Instagram profile.
Mom health, that's a whole new level.
I know.
Oh my gosh. Are you ready to go down that rabbit hole?
Yeah, I already am. And I'm like, just like mama bear in full force, because I'm like, know this, yes, this, learning about it. And like the more you learn, it's kind of scary, but then at the same time, it's empowering, because you're like, you have your intuition and your gut. So even though like you can feel a little bit of like societal pressures and doubts, you're like, no, I know this is right. And there's other like mama bears out there that also have been tried and true, to have gone through it, and that it is real. And it just is like anything, like
right.
The government, pharmaceuticals, medical industry, they want to make you be afraid. They want you to feel reliant on them, where, like I said, I'm grateful for medicine and certain pharmaceuticals and doctors. Like, I love them. I have them in my family. I have friends that are in that industry, and I think they're needed. But I think for certain things, and unfortunately our society is just plagued by relying on them, and, you know, like we talk about putting a Band-Aid and not curing the root.
Right.
So I'm excited to like shift to learn that. But at the same time, I still have to take care of myself.
Right.
You know, and just like balance that, navigate it. But now like you're responsible for someone else. Like you get pushback, but you're like, you have to be in control and be like, no, you can't do this, or you have to eat this, or.
Right.
I don't know. I'm nervous, well, but I'm excited.
I respect that. I love that you're putting your family, your baby, your health first, because that's what we've been advocates our entire podcast career. And I think that's so, so, so important to take care of your family, take care of your health, take care of yourself.
Yeah.
And I'm going to continue to I'm still doing my enemas, of course. I've got a whole new story of crazy things that I've been doing in the health industry, in the health world. But I don't think it's goodbye, but more like until we'll see you soon with all those like crazy mom stories. And yeah. I know you'll be back telling us everything we need to know about motherhood and making those hard decisions too, the healthy decisions. So I'm excited. I'm excited to watch this journey and yeah.
I know. I'm excited too for you, and to see HPG like continue to evolve and see like how much more we can help people and touch people and you know, like learn, because we're all learning and supporting each other. I'm definitely going to have a lot of FOMO, not being able to sit and do Kel and Mel and talk about all these things. But I'm definitely going to keep watching and listening, supporting, maybe pop in here and there.
Don't listen. Don't subscribe. Don't. I'm going to try, you guys. This is going to be so much fun. But I have a lot of crazy, gross, interesting things coming your way. And Mel, I'll make you proud. You might be embarrassed, but you'll be excited to see what's in store for HBG.
Yeah, I know. I'm excited about it. And it's like my grandpa used to say, it's not goodbye, it's see you later.
Oh, I love that. Thank you so much for sharing and being a part of our lives, and just all of the support, you guys. This has been such a crazy chapter, and I don't want to close it, but I love you so much.
I know, I love you too.
And my armpits smell, because I got the
Well, they are nervous. A little sweaty.
Don't subscribe, I'm nervous.
Don't follow, don't tell anyone about this. Love you, thank you so much.
Bye.